Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. We have reached the 7 o'clock hour. 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by Club Risqué, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club. 3 locations, Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com. Let's go to Mike and King of Prussia to lead things off here at 7.02. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing great. How about you?
Good. Now, we've talked before a lot, and you know I'm not a Howie Roseman guy.
Yes.
I think he bumbled so many things, and he uses free agency to cover up his drafting mistakes all the time. And here's where I'm at with this. This team, constructed by Howie Roseman, had so many holes and still has so many holes. But you can't say the defensive backfield makes you feel comfortable. I mean, you have one player you brought in, and that player is 29 years old. And then you spent extra money that you don't have, you have, but you should have spent another place on a third starting defensive tackle. And here's where I have a real issue with everything. I have an issue that I read a tweet from Jimmy Kempsky today saying that they're actually more comfortable than the general public is with their wide receivers. And if that's actually true, if Howie said something like that, that's blatant negligence, and that he doesn't think that they have to upgrade that much. I can't trust this guy's judgment. He can't draft speed positions to save his life. And if he doesn't think that we need a drastic upgrade at our wide receiver, he should not be a GM in this league any longer.
Well, so I might have read a different thing, Mike, but I thought what he said is that they liked what they had and that they thought that they could upgrade in the draft. He doesn't think that they're going to make any more big moves in free agency. Is that what you saw?
There was another tweet out there that I saw that it made it seem even more like they're real comfortable with what they have, and that whatever they do, they're more comfortable than the general public is with it.
I gotcha.
You can't say things like that. I mean, I know you don't want to give away your hand and have people hold you over the barrel, but you can't say things like that when we have been screaming that you need to pair Carson with a top flight wide receiver. You're wasting this quarterback's career by not putting, this is what they did to Donovan early on. They didn't give him weapons for years, and they wasted the best part of his career, and they didn't just think they had to put any talent around him.
Sure. Well, Mike, I think that that's a totally fair critique, and thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate it. I think that the difference is, and I found the tweet. It says, Howie Roseman, this is from Jimmy Kempsky, says that the team views the wide receiver position differently than the public. Doesn't mean they won't try to improve it, but they're higher on their receivers than probably you are. Well, I mean, a couple things, right? First of all, you have to work with these guys. So you're not going to just throw them under the bus and be like, yeah, well, you know what? DeSean Jackson has never stayed healthy in his entire career, and Alshon Jeffrey's probably the worst decision I've ever made from a contract perspective, and we thought that we were going to get a lot more from J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, and man, oh man, Nelson Aguilar is gone, but I don't know how much that helps, and do we really want to go into the season with Greg Ward as a starting slot receiver? Like, you're just not going to see Howie Roseman trash his team. It's not good business. That's not the way that the Eagles have done things. So I get the frustration in hearing it. There's no way that they're comfortable with where they are going into the NFL season. Howie, I guarantee you a couple of things. Feels outmaneuvered on the DeAndre Hopkins thing. The fact that there was a player the caliber of DeAndre Hopkins at a position like wide receiver that the Eagles desperately needed that he was not involved in. Not many of those deals happen anymore, where there's a trade or a big swap or a player acquisition that the Eagles are not in on. Howie, I guarantee you did not like that at all. And probably misread the wide receiver market generally across the board in terms of free agency. I believe that Howie Roseman is committed to picking at least one wide receiver in the draft. Minimum. Bare minimum one wide receiver. And probably more than one, especially if they don't go for one in the first round. There's no way that they can actually be, like, truly comfortable. And I don't even know if he's lying because, you know, he says he's probably more comfortable than we are. Everybody's trashing the Eagles' wide receiving core. Not all that hard to like them more than, quote-unquote, the general public does. 610-632-0975, your phone number to hop aboard the conversation. Charles in the Northeast is next on The Fanatic. What's going on, Charles?
Hey, Joe. Always great hearing you.
Oh, likewise. Great to talk to you, man.
Joe, I'm glad it came on after Mike from King of Prussia, because Mike's buried Howie, and he always will in every show. But here's the fact, and I hate to tell Mike, Howie's really been general manager of this team for 6 years, in my opinion. I don't count the end of the Andy Reid years, and of course, we don't count 2015. Out of them 6 years, and I hate to bring facts up here, out of the 6 years Howie's been general manager, the Eagles have had a winning record 5. They've been to the playoffs 4, and they won the Super Bowl, and they won 3 division titles.
Mm-hmm.
That's a record of excellence, Joe, whether Mike from King of Prussia or any Howie hater wants to hear likes to hear that or not. See, they can come on and rip Howie, especially Mike, but I'm giving you facts. You can't dispute facts. Now, he comes on, he's going on about the wide receivers. Listen, I think Howie's had an excellent offseason so far. He improved the defensive line a lot. He's already improved the secondary. And as for the wide receivers, Howie's not going to come out and tell you what he's going to do. Like, today on these conference calls, he's not going to come out and tell you if he's going to get rid of Alshon Jeffrey or if he's going to keep Alshon Jeffrey.
Right.
He's not going to tell you that. So, of course, he's going to praise Alshon Jeffrey. And he was part of the Super Bowl team, by the way, Alshon Jeffrey.
Right.
So the thing is, I think Howie has a plan. Everybody's going about the DeAndre Hopkins thing, Joe. I don't think he wanted. Everybody knew what it was going to take to get DeAndre Hopkins. But the fact is, even forget that people can say Houston didn't give up much for him. You're going to pay this guy $20 million a year. No, I don't think Howie wanted to do that. He wants to build his team a different way. Now, do the Eagles need receivers? Yes. But I think Howie has a plan for that. In my opinion, I think Howie, at the trade deadline before or during the draft, I think he's going to trade for a veteran receiver, a really good receiver, and I think he's going to really get a good receiver in the draft. That's what I think the plan is. The plan wasn't to get a Robbie Anderson. It wasn't to get any of these free agent wide receivers who really, quite frankly, at the most are number threes in this league, and they got overpaid. Now, I mean, so I got, unlike Mike, I got faith in Howie, because you know why, Joe? The Eagles have had the most success ever under Howie. In my opinion.
Well, but aren't there other things that have come into play during Howie's tenure, like, you know, hiring Doug Peterson as a coach and drafting Carson Wentz? Like, don't those play into it as well?
Exactly. Howie hired Doug Peterson. You know as well as I do, Joe, he got a lot of flack for that. Guess what? Doug Peterson's proven to be a top 10 coach in the league. As for Carson Wentz, I feel Carson's already a top 10 quarterback. We can debate that. And we can debate, you know, him being injury prone, even though I think that's overblown by a lot of people, because he has started out of his 4 years, he's completed 2 seasons. My thing is, he's got the cornerstone. If you got the coach and you got the quarterback, you got the cornerstone of your team. So to me, I think Howie's a top 3 general manager in this league, and I feel fortunate that we have him here in the city, Joe.
Charles, great to talk to you, man, as always. Appreciate the phone call. I think that when it comes down to it, though, I think that Charles made a lot of good points. I think it's important to hire the right coach and find the right quarterback. I believe that the Eagles have done both. I don't think that it's a big stretch to say that Carson Wentz is a top 10 quarterback in the league, because even if you don't have him top 10, you might have him at like 11 or 12. But I'm confident in saying that he's a top 10 quarterback in the league at this point. Here's the problem, though. The most important Howie Roseman is Ben Simmons. Hang on. Wait. He is, though. Because he's good at a ton. He's good at cap management. He's good at personality management. He's good at player valuation. He's good at a lot of those things, right? The most important thing that a general manager can do in the NFL is be good at the draft. Be good at drafting. Similar to the way the most important thing that you can do in the NBA in 2020 is shoot the basketball. Is this a fair comparison so far, Tyler? Is this okay? He's Ben?
All
right, I haven't told you.
Yeah, it's right. Tough for me, because I would, in their respected spots,
yeah,
take Ben Simmons first before I took Howie Roseman in his respected spot.
Fine. So either... Fine, I'll buy that. So that is to say that you do not believe that Howie Roseman is a top 3 general manager in this league, as Charles just assumed.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't.
So the problem is that there is a track record of Howie Roseman making poor decisions in the draft. Nelson Agholor, by any stretch, was a poor decision in the draft. Sidney Jones, while you might like the idea, was clearly a bad decision, and that draft has wrecked the Eagles in terms of being as consistent a contender as the top. The Eagles are a second-tier contender in terms of the Super Bowl teams at best.
You may, by the time that 2017 draft is said and done, the most productive player you get out of that is Nate Gary.
Maybe. That is, at a time when it was incredibly important to nail it, they totally whiffed on the draft. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, while a lot of people like the player, I thought the player was fine coming out. I thought second round was big for J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, but I thought the player could be a productive one in the NFL in the right system. That hasn't worked out. You can point to a ton of Howie Roseman draft picks that have not worked out relative to the ones that have worked out. Here's the thing. If they're going to make a midseason acquisition for a wide receiver, you're not going to get better than DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins is the best wide receiver in the league. And anyone that you would acquire, if they're willing, their team is willing to trade them, it's almost inevitable at this point that the new deal comes with it, that you're going to have to sign them to a new contract or else it doesn't work. And I don't mind Howie Roseman not signing wide receivers to be starters on his team. My problem is that if you're not going to address the wide receiver position at all, and it was your worst position, then it completely telegraphs what you're going to do on draft day. Also, and we talked about that already, I am not sure that the Eagles' secondary is that much better. I like Darius Slay. I think that getting a corner was incredibly important. You also lost Malcolm Jenkins, who is probably your most important player defensively. I'm a fan of the decision, but I haven't seen how that's going to play out in the short term yet. I literally read something today where Jalen Mills is talking about himself in terms of being Charles Woodson-like. I'm not ready. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. Look, I'm not saying that he's terrible. I'm saying that Howie Roseman, since the Super Bowl season, where he was in the zone, swishing every three, literally could not miss, has not gotten a whole lot right since then.
So I posed this question over the weekend. Are you any more comfortable, even with Darius Slay, as the finally with a lockdown corner, are you any more, and if you are, how much so, more comfortable heading into 2020 with the secondary than you were heading into 2019?
More comfortable with the secondary going into this year versus last year?
Correct.
Same level of concern.
It's right there.
Yeah.
Because going into last year, I had no concern for Malcolm Jenkins. Going into this year, I have no concern for Darius Slay.
Right.
Outside of that, I have concern at 2 of 3, just like I did last year, and yeah. Rodney McLeod is good.
I think the Eagles have a secret weapon.
But not great.
I think Cravon LeBlanc is going to be way better as a starting outside corner than a lot of people think. If he earns the starting outside corner job, which I think he will, I think that he is literally a secret weapon for the Eagles. I have no idea what Jalen Mills is going to be as a safety.
Right.
Not even a clue. And people are saying that you need to move Rasul Douglas to safety. You need to move Rasul Douglas out. Like, that guy's, I don't think that that guy has anything to give you. Howie Roseman's talking about how it needs to be time for Sidney Jones to show up. It's done been time for Sidney Jones to show up. That ship has also sailed. So, At corner, I don't feel as good, especially at depth.
According to your list, you are, in theory, really left with either you need Sidney Jones the ball, or it's Cravon LeBlanc slash Avante Maddox.
Right. And inside, it's Roby Coleman. Feel okay about that. I think that'll work out okay. Darius Slay, I feel good about. Rodney McLeod, I don't think is a player who's going to kill you if you have him in your starting lineup. So I'm okay with that. Jalen Mills is safety. Big mystery, especially if they're going to ask him to do Malcolm Jenkins stuff. 610-632-0975 is your phone number. Top of board the conversation. Let's go to John in Bucks County next on the Fanatic. Hey, John.
Hey, man. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Great. I'm good.
Good.
You sidetracked me a little with the cornerback things there, but quickly on that, I feel pretty comfortable because if you look at last season, we had Darby. We expected a lot out of him. it's he got burned so many times up and down the field. Now, think of that with Darius Slay. It's not going to happen. That's going to make all those dudes better around him. Rodney McLeod, Parks, all of them. I think having him will have such a different impact for that secondary that even the guys like LeBlanc and Maddox are going to step up, and hopefully Jones even more. So we'll see with him. But I think adding Slay there is going to really help them. But
I really like that move. Really like it, John.
I agree, because how many times did Darby get burned last year? It was insane.
All the time, yep.
Right, so scratch that from it. I think they're going to do good. But going to the receivers, I don't know. Everybody's so upset that we didn't sign Perriman, Robbie Anderson, Taylor Gabriel, all these guys. Those guys are okay players, but they're not extreme weapons that are going to be help Carson in the long term. All you need out of that slot guy, where Anderson would play, is somebody who's fast to run down the field next to DeSean Jackson, because you saw it when D-Jack and Aguilar first game against the Redskins just ran down the field. Jackson was open two times because you had Aguilar coming on a slant across the middle taking the safety. You just need somebody fast in that spot. So I kind of agree with Howie not to pay somebody a crap load of money if you're just gonna need a burner right there. So, and kind of another point on that, last year I was so excited for the Eagles wide receivers. Obviously, Jackson got hurt, but I think if they just add a little bit, and I know everyone's talking, oh, you don't want to miss on the draft. Howie's not good. I agree with that. But if they stick to who the best consensus receiver they have on the board at the that spot, and then maybe take a burner like KJ Hamler or Hill, second or third round, I don't think you can go wrong, and I think he'll catch the least amount of heat if he does that.
So, John, let me ask you this, because I thought, and I hear you about paying second-tier guys, but, like, the Chiefs did that. They paid Sammy Watkins all the money in the world on that contract. They have DeMarcus Robinson. They drafted Mecole Hardman. They drafted Tyreek Hill. The objective of the game was to just get as fast as you could everywhere. Howie Roseman, we've seen how good he is with the cap. You saw the impact that the Darius Slay and Javon Hargrave signings are going to make on this year's cap. It's like nothing. So my question is, why aren't the Eagles trying to emulate what the Chiefs did and sign, for example, DeMarcus Robinson, who's a free agent? And Robbie Anderson, yeah, he got $10 million. Is that going to be worse than paying DeSean Jackson what you paid him, knowing that he never finishes seasons?
I get you. Yeah, well, I agree with that. And the Chiefs, they built such a crazy model of what receivers should be. It was a lot different years ago.
Sure.
But with that being said, so they have Jackson. He's a little older. You could, I'd say, consider him kind of like a Sammy Watkins. But as for Tyreek Hill, he's a freak. You're going to have to, if you're trying to emulate them, you got to move up, draft Ruggs.
Mm-hmm.
He
right.
has to develop into that guy, which is, I mean, Tyreek Hill's a freak of nature. That guy's he's a psycho too. He has the mental for it. For what he developed into. So you got to hope you can develop somebody. Robbie Anderson's not that guy. Perriman's not that guy. You have to develop that, because they drafted Tyreek Hill too.
No, you're absolutely right, John. Thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate it. But what I'm saying is, like, yes, the Chiefs did it at the maximum level. I'm not saying that you can be the Golden State Warriors, but you're seeing what the Houston Rockets are doing to try to emulate some of what the Warriors did. Like, that's kind of my point, is that if you get Perriman, fast dude, and put it together at the end of last year. I actually kind of believed that. I don't know if you believed it or not. I kind of believed in what Breshad Perriman put together in the last 3 or 4 weeks of last year.
I've been waiting on him to put it together since he came out of UCF.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, he had the weird world's strangest like MCL strain or whatever it was, or yeah, hamstring strain that robbed him of his entire rookie year. And, you know, Baltimore doesn't have patience for that. They're just like, all right, if you can't help us, you're out. But, like, didn't do much in Tampa until those last, like, 3 or 4 weeks. I think that's real.
6 touchdowns in the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, I buy it. I do. I think that the light came on. I truly believe
it. And not only that, it goes back to our conversation. He was catching passes from a guy that was throwing 30 picks on his way to 30 picks.
Right, yeah, exactly.
So, obviously, the opportunity is there, but it also means that many, many drives were halted in a Jameis Winston turnover.
Sure, with a pick. And here's the other thing. I'm not trying to debate whether Robbie Anderson is a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL. My question that I have for you that I want to pose to you is, would you take Robbie Anderson right now over Alshon Jeffrey? Would you take Robbie Anderson right now over J.J. Arcega-Whiteside?
Absolutely.
Would you take him right now over DeSean Jackson?
I would, yes,
too. Yes. I would take Robbie Anderson over every... I don't care if he is a two or a three or whatever. I know that DeSean Jackson never finishes seasons ever. I know that Alshon Jeffrey, except for like 1 year, never finishes seasons ever. And is probably the worst contract on the Eagles right now. I know that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Greg Ward, with all due respect to those guys, I am taking Robbie Anderson over them. I'm not trying to compete with whoever you deem as the best wide receivers in the NFL. I'm not trying to compete with the Vikings. Oh, is it Adam Thielen? Is it DeAndre Hopkins? Is it all these other guys? Is it better than what you have? And that's where I say that a guy like Robbie Anderson, DeMarcus Robinson still available, Rashad Perryman, I would have looked to have overhauled the wide receiving core by any means necessary, including the draft. But if you're going to spend in free agency, that's something that you should consider as well. 610-632-0975. Jay's going to lead us off. Then we have a couple of open phone lines. You can grab those now. 610-632-0975. It is the Joe Torti Show. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Hope that you and yours are doing well during the quarantine. Watched two episodes of Tiger King last night, which is like the number one thing in America right now that's on Netflix. People are crazy, man. We'll talk about that in a little while here. We got enough craziness to talk about right here in Philadelphia. Let's go to Jay in Mount Airy on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Joe. You know, sometimes I listen to the callers, you know, and mm-hmm. they come down on Howie. And I'm like, I bet you 99% of those people could not even tell you three other GMs in the league other than Howie Roseman.
Mm.
And the fact of the matter is that without Googling.
Right,
you know,
of course.
And tell me, and with that being in mind, you know, do they know how to judge a guy like Howie? You know, I know you mentioned, you know, he hasn't been that good with the draft. Well, who has? You know, I'd like to know who has been better with the draft.
I mean,
you know, what teams have been better with the draft? I mean, Howie's been doing his job basically since 2010 or whatever, but he lost it for a few years when mm-hmm. Chip Kelly came here. But other than that, you know, Howie, with all things considered, we were never the bottom of the barrel of the league. So we were always drafting somewhere in the middle to the upper tier,
right.
You know, because our record's been pretty good. So we got to take that into consideration when we talk draft also.
Well, it's definitely true. I mean, because you don't always see, it's easy, for example, for like people to say, oh, wow, the Browns really got a haul because they're always picking in like the top three. Like, I totally understand that. But I look at teams like the Ravens. I look at teams like the Steelers. I look at teams like the 49ers that have kind of been like up and down and all over the place. And have managed to have the way that I look at it is how many starters do you get out of the draft and how many players are still on your team from then? Like that's the way that I look at it. Now, other people might have different standards, but for me, like those are the teams that I think of as like the gold standard when it comes to the draft.
Yeah, I hear you. And my thing is, the way I look at it is, okay, you know, it's easy for us to say because we live in a city, but you know, if I were to say, hey, you know, name the top five receivers right now, you know, we could all rattle them off. But how do people know how to judge a general manager.
Mm.
You know, you know, because the only one that we really know about is the one that can't stay out of the team's way. And that's the owner, who is the GM, the GM right. too, of Dallas.
You know, been pretty good at drafting, that, by the way, actually.
What'd you say?
Who's been pretty good at drafting, by the way.
Yeah, but Jerry. It hasn't paid off.
True.
You know, Howie's drafts have, you know, and his moves have actually gotten us our first Super Bowl.
Yes.
So we got to watch it when we come down on Howie about this draft because, you know, I'm sure if you look across the board at all teams, I know all teams are throwing in some duds too, you know, every so often.
Sure, of course.
But I think this guy hit more than he missed. So I just want to, you know, temper our, you know, criticism about Howie.
Sure. Well, Jay, I totally understand. Thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. Winning a Super Bowl is always going to take a lot of the sting off. But, like not to be a jerk, serious question, how do we feel about Jason Peters being back year after year after year, and he still might be back this year? How do we feel about Darren Sproles being back for the express purpose of him being able to get the all-purpose yards record?
You know, it's the fan club. I mean, there's a fan club to an extent that if you're in it, if you're boys with the guys, you're boys for life.
Oh, we've talked about this, haven't we?
For sure.
The all-man crush team. There are people on the Philadelphia Eagles that literally their word goes, period. Jason Peters is number one. He's the king of the Philadelphia Eagles up till this offseason. Carson Wentz is number two. Darren Sproles is number three. They were the kings of the all-man crush team for Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson.
It's funny that you mentioned the Super Bowl kind of takes the sting out of things because we've had this conversation with Devon before, and mm-hmm. Devon's on the opposite side when it comes to the Sixers and Brett Brown, where even if the Sixers win the championship or would have won the championship, he was ready to get rid of them. So there's got to fall somewhere in the middle because Howie Roseman is like untouchable, infallible. And on the same token, people are ready to run Brett Brown out of town even if he finds a way to win a championship.
Right.
There's got to be somewhere in the middle.
You're right.
Super Bowl buys you time, but it doesn't buy you 6 years.
I think that Bill Belichick is a better general manager. Even though I would say that Bill Belichick's draft record is not that great. The Patriots really don't like drafting players all that much. They like trading back and accumulating assets and trading for veterans and signing the right guys. I still think Bill Belichick does an overall better job of team building.
Well, and the thing with Bill Belichick, too, is especially the fact that he's always drafting 28, 29, 30, yeah. or 31, or 32. There is always a guy that they end up drafting, and the New England Patriots select whomever, and you just look at each other and you go, how is he still on the board?
Right.
How did that happen? How did Malcolm Brown fall to 32?
Right.
Or 31 or whatever they got him at.
It's so funny that you mentioned him. I was like, it's always some D-tackle from Texas. it's so funny that you went there.
That's exactly what it is.
Yep.
How does Danny Shelton just happen to be available in free agency?
Yep. And the Patriots are like, oh, he works. I think that John Schneider is at least as good, if not better, building what they did in Seattle. I've talked about Kevin Colbert. I think that Kevin Colbert's among the elites of the elite in terms of generating, like, accumulating talent. I don't know. I think Howie is a top three is a reach because he did have one literally lights out, can't miss, he's on fire season. And I don't know how great he's been outside of that. At this point, like I said, I like the Hargrave signing. I like the Slay trade a lot. We're building back up from the F by not getting DeAndre Hopkins. But we're in the C, C-plus range right now for Howie Roseman until I see what plays out for the draft. He can definitely improve the offseason by nailing the draft. But who knows? Maybe not. That's why I'm glad that the draft is still on schedule. Because in a month, we'll have a lot more clarity as to who the Eagles are for the upcoming year. Let's go to Chris in Pensauken next on The Fanatic. Hey, Chris.
What's up, brother?
How you doing, man?
Hanging, man. Just wrapping up for tomorrow night. My telling the young man that answers the phone today. We'll be going on number three, day three of leftovers, meatloaf with ketchup, so it's not, you know, faring well.
Gotcha.
But, you would think people would actually wash their clothes, but they're not.
No.
Nope. I'm completely dead. I'm making like $38 a day. It's bad. But what, your feet hit the floor, it's a good day. Your kids are healthy.
Of course.
What are you going to do? Everybody needs to stick together and not panic. But what I will panic about, Joe, is because, you know, I believe Philadelphia sports.
Yes, sir.
Believe them. For somebody, I'm not saying he's the worst guy. People to come on your airwaves and tell you he's a top three GM, you should call up 911, even if you like him, get him arrested, because that's insane. He's picked three players in the past 3 years that contributed. And I didn't Google anything, but it's pretty common sense. If you watch a draft, no disrespect to a couple callers back there, everybody said, don't Google it. I'd take John Lynch over Howie Roseman in a heartbeat. I would take Chris Ballard out of the Colts. Mm. Oh, and by the way, I didn't bring up his name because he signed there 2 years ago. He was with Kansas City forever. Everybody wanted him as a GM. The Colts finally grabbed him. They got him. I would take Stephen Jones, Jerry Jones' son, as a GM over Howie Roseman. Because all I hear about this is he's great at the cap, he's great at the cap. I don't know one team in the past 3 years, Joe, that got in trouble for being over the cap.
True.
Nobody's over the cap anymore.
It's not always the GM either. Like, they can always pay somebody who says, we got to find a way to make our contract work. I know a lot of teams do that.
Right. I mean, you just redo the contract. It's pretty sensible today. It isn't like when Joe Banner started and everybody's like, Joe Banner's a wizard, Joe Banner's a wizard. Now, Howie's good. I'm not saying he's lucky. I'm not going to do any of that. That's unfair to him.
Mm-hmm.
But to say that, like, the cap is great, everybody figures out the cap today, man. It's like playing checkers. That when Joe Banner was doing it, it was playing chess. And if we're going to sit on these airwaves and call and say, well, we're going to take a wide receiver with our first pick. Well, I'm not doing that. If those big three guys are gone, I'm not taking Justin Jefferson or Denzel Mims. If Patrick Quinn is, and I know they won't do it, I watch a ton of SEC ball. If they don't take Patrick Queen and he's sitting there as a linebacker, and they're not going to do it because they have no...
They hate linebackers.
They hate linebackers. Patrick Queen has the capability of becoming a pro ball player within 3 years. He's that darn good. He's at a LSU. He's a beast.
I agree.
But we won't do it, and that's okay. But for to come on here and say, how is this? See, Howie gets himself in trouble because he gets a little smart. He's that kid on your block, show growing up. You got a new bike. I know you didn't grow up in the hood like I grew up, but we all got a new bike. But Howie's the kid that got the 5-speed with the banana seat. When he comes down, he goes, oh, I like pepperoni and sausage. Well, now you're talking a good game. Now I want to see you play a good game. I want to see you get some players that can come in here. Not be pro ball players. Oh, and by the way, I would take Ozzie Newsome. I would take his replacement all day long. We need to hit on somebody, not as an over, just to be serviceable, man. We got players that don't play. We draft them in the second round.
Right.
Sidney Jones sits. We draft Pumphreys. I don't want to hear it's a lot. I don't want to hear it's a running back draft. It's a wide receiver draft. I seen it, done it. It hasn't worked. So whatever we're doing, this might help us out, Joe, where they can't come in and visit. Maybe this is going to mess Howie up. Howie, if you're listening, stay in the SEC. Stay in the SEC. Pick 80% of your guys from the SEC and just interview everybody over Skype. Don't try to bring them in. Don't fly out there. Don't ask them their favorite color.
The Pac-12 is so wonderful. The Pac-12 is so fun.
Oh, my God. I look at that Pac-12, Joe, between football and basketball. I want to take my Father Judge 1985 head and smash it into my garage door every time they do it.
So
and
good.
And they don't listen. It's like you telling your kid not to touch the oven, and he touches the oven, and he goes, my hand got burnt. Yeah, because Joe told you not to touch the oven, dude.
Chris, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Chris is fired up.
Pepperoni pizza or sausage, you know?
Oh, boy. By the way,
I'm glad I'm not crazy.
We better hope that is patently false. Because what's pepperoni or sausage about? If he thought that Jared Goff and Carson Wentz were the same dude, then that's a big... He better have been lying that whole time about pepperoni or sausage, vanilla or chocolate. Because if you're like, yeah, I don't care, Goff or Wentz, either one will work. Ho! It's a big problem.
We could find out. It's not going to matter.
It doesn't matter. 610-632-0975. And he'd never tell us.
Well, not only that, but they were going to take Goff if Wentz went number one.
Yeah.
They traded all the way up there. They weren't not taking a quarterback.
Well, people tried to say that, you know, a la the Boston Celtics trading with the 76ers, there was an understanding of who was taking what. Okay.
Yeah. All understandings right. go so far.
Yeah.
Until the guy's still on the board.
There's never any backstabbing in pro sports. It is the Joe Torti Show. We're hanging out until 10 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyler Zuli hanging out until 10 o'clock. Mike had Jay Wright on. This is fascinating. I want to hear from Jay Wright. We're going to hear from Jay at some point here in the second half of the program. ESPN has gone ahead and simulated, based on their, I guess it's their BPI, is that what it is? Their basketball power index. They've simulated the NCAA tournament armed with Joe Lunardi's final bracket. And they have determined that Wisconsin is the national champion. Wisconsin beats Maryland. There are no one seeds. None. No one seeds. Two seeds or three seeds in the final four.
Yeah, okay.
Wisconsin over Maryland, 4-4. BYU in the national championship game, 6-6 Virginia. And then it's Wisconsin over BYU. There you go. You buy it?
As someone who bought very heavily into both Maryland and BYU this year and probably would have had both in at least my Sweet 16, no.
All right.
That's a terrible Final Four.
They had Maryland beating my national champion, Dayton, in the Sweet 16, which I do not think that would have been likely. But who knows? They had Yale over Gonzaga, knocking out a one seed with a 12. And then, let's see, where did San Diego State go out? They have them, because I thought that was a strong squad as well. Well, Baylor loses to St. Mary's. West Virginia over Florida State. I don't know. I'll find it. Oh, don't do this to me. Oh, I get so emotional. I don't.
You miss it yet?
Dude, I miss it every day. Every day I miss it. I miss the conference tournaments.
I think I miss the conference tournaments more than I miss the actual tournament.
Well, so selfishly, like, here's the thing. Like, the, you know, I call games for Penn on TV.
Yes.
And I was very happy that one of the most accomplished players in program history, A.J. Broder, nailed, like, all of these milestones in the last game before the Ivy League tournament. It was super cool that I got to call it. I was excited that ESPN didn't get to call that, selfishly. But then the conference tournament gets canceled. And I find out, because I hadn't been tracking this, and clearly I should have been, one of the other seniors on the team will end his career with 998 points.
Oh, that's rough. Oh. You knew he was getting two.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's averaging like 13, of course.
You got to get two.
Oh, man. Sad. Very sad.
There's going to be a lot of cases like that. I mean, we've discussed the one that for Penn State stood out to me is Lamar Stevens is 7 points short of the program record.
All-time leader in points. Seven. Come on, man.
It would have looked a lot. I'll tell you this. Taylor Battle had a really nice Penn State career.
Sure.
Would have looked a lot better with Lamar Stevens at the top.
Yeah, you're not kidding. It was number six BYU over number two San Diego State. That's where they had that go. So that's your squad. BYU.
Yeah, they weren't as good as San Diego State.
Yeah. Well, I mean, lots of teams aren't as good. That's the magic of the tournament. I'll say this to Chris. definitely did not grow up in any hood, for sure. In fact, I went to grade school in Money Magazine's number one place in America to live. However, with a convert's energy, I made my way to St. Joe's Prep. I had a little education there, and then continued that education in the Bronx at Fordham. So I played catch up pretty quickly. And coming back from Christmas break and having our apartment broken into, and like my little silly medicine like container broken apart, because obviously I'm a college student, I must have drugs in my medicine thing. Hope you enjoyed your Tylenol, you creep. 610-632-0975. That was the only time where I was like, I think I might have to move. Like, anytime you get like a place broken into or something like that, like you never feel like you're really ever safe there again. You don't know if it's an inside job. You don't know.
Feel like you were looking over your shoulder a little bit.
Yeah, I'm like, eh. Fortunately, we didn't have anything like that. I'm sure that there are people that have gotten that way worse than me. But yep, like I said, didn't grow up in any hood. Tried to do my best to catch up, though, on my education. All right, so the other thing that we were talking about, obviously, with Howie Roseman and the Eagles draft and what's going to happen here is players that are worth trading up for, players that are not. Tyler, I know that you've been way in on the linebacker Patrick Queen for a
very much
long
so.
Time.
Yes.
But it's almost sad because you're going with like the full understanding that even if the Eagles don't move and he is available at 21, it is extremely unlikely.
They will not take him. No.
Sad.
And he will probably go within the next
3 picks to a great
team.
Yeah,
I was going
to
say 7 or 8, but it'll probably more realistically be like pick 23.
Jeez.
I wanted to not hurt myself and say 8. You know, make my emotions so bad that it's not 3, but it's going to be top. It's going to be within 3 picks.
It hurts. I think that teams do go with what they know, though, generally, right? Ozzie Newsome went to Alabama, understands the SEC, and the Ravens did well building up a team in the SEC. Pittsburgh, another team that I highlight that drafts very well, drafts all Big Ten. They live on Ohio State. They live on Wisconsin. Like, that is where the vast majority of their drafting happens. There is no doubt, Chip Kelly or no Chip Kelly, that the Eagles live for the Pac-12.
Well, of course they do.
They trade up for Dillard.
You know what the thing is, though? And I know that they were spread out over years, and they're not recent picks. But when you think of two of the most successful Baltimore Ravens since 2000... Mm-hmm. Two of the names that come to mind are Haloti Ngata,
yep,
and Terrell Suggs. What conference did both of them come out of?
Pac-12.
Yes.
As it were. Yeah, that's true. I was thinking of Ray Lewis, you know?
Well, yeah, no, but ACC, I mean, Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, of course, are both ACC, but to prove the point,
yes.
two of the staples of that Ravens defense for 15 years were an Oregon defensive tackle and an Arizona State edge rusher.
So, to your point, do I think that there are no good players in the Pac-12? Of course not. That's a ridiculous premise to have. As a matter of fact, if I were quarterback hunting, I actually have no interest in the SEC at all, generally, on like
usually
a year-by-year
speaking,
basis,
yeah.
Right? Like, there are exceptions.
I mean, LSU finally found a quarterback, and all they did was finally get over the hump and win the national title.
They were playing with the best team in college football and no quarterback for like 15 years.
They ran out Brandon Harris for a national title game.
Just amazing. But to the point, if I am looking for a quarterback, I am certainly looking at the Pac-12. I want USC. I want Stanford. I want Arizona State. I want any of those schools.
A lot of pro-style offenses out there.
Absolutely. The athletes, not so much. It's like, I'm not looking for defensive backs in the Big 12. It seems silly.
There are particular positions that you know they're coming out of this conference.
Absolutely.
Running back, SEC.
Yes.
Offensive line, Big 10.
Yes.
Quarterback, you go to the Pac-12.
Absolutely.
A lot.
You do. I think that we could set up draft rules. And we could do a fantasy draft where we were constricted by these rules. And we would end up great.
I think you're right.
Doing that.
Did you know that up until very recently, and is not even certain that he's the starting quarterback yet. There's only one school that boasts multiple starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
One school that boasts multiple starting quarterbacks in the NFL. And it's not even sure that this guy's a starter.
No, now it might be two this season.
Okay, all right.
It might be two if Bridgewater wins the job in Carolina, because that would give you two Louisville quarterbacks. But there's only one school, as of right now, that has two starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
Who is it?
California.
Cal.
Rodgers and Goff.
And Jared Goff.
That's it. I mean, that's...
I was trying to go over Michigan State.
That's not even a school that's like heavy hitter when it comes to picking the quarterback, you'd think.
First quarterback you think of when you think of Cal.
I mean, probably Rodgers.
Is it one of those two guys?
Yeah, it's probably Rodgers.
You know who it is for me? Nate Longshore.
Nah, you got me there. If there's, I got to admit, if there's a Power 5 conference that I give the least attention to, it's the Pac-12. It's the Pac-12.
I gotcha. I understand.
Because when I am watching college football from noon until 7:30 to 10:30 at night, the attention that I give to the 10 o'clock kickoff, my brain's fried by that point. Yeah.
I gotcha.
Knowing that I have to get ready for the NFL the next day.
610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.